Amen. It is so good to see each of you tonight. And I tell you, Brother Nathan, I think the choir's been sounding extra special the last few services. That's just beautiful singing. And, you know, Brother Rodney, he is the only one. I like that. And I was thinking about this while you're singing. If he's your plan A, you don't have to have a plan B. He'll see all the way through. And I sure do appreciate that. I appreciate our Lord tonight, and I appreciate you tonight. We will have our prayer time, also having a business meeting tonight to go over some things, and just really excited about what the Lord is doing in the church. Just so encouraged seeing those joining the church, young families and what have you, seeing people accept the Lord. And I just wanted to say this too, something that's been fresh on my mind is just how thankful I am about this land behind us, that it's how that worked out. You know, sometimes you go through something, if you're not careful, maybe you can forget about it. But, you know, at the deacons meeting the other night, Brother James is talking about going around and putting up some of the T-posts to mark the land and what have you. And I'm just like, my goodness, how good the Lord's been to us. We could have been talking about all kinds of things tonight. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He takes care of things. And again, His way and in His time. And a lot of times we don't understand that, I know. But I did want to mention this too, a little announcement. The barbecue and hot dog benefit for Melody Howes, her daughter and son-in-law that are looking to adopt. They wanted me, again, you know, I wanted to announce this again tonight, but they really appreciate that announcement on Sunday. I wanted to share it again, and it's going to be at the Trade Community Center on the 15th from 4 to 7 p.m. If you'd like to go and attend that, and then also be in prayer for them. So we appreciate them and wanted to share that. I think that's everything by way of announcement. And then also, well, Brother Jed Warren's going to be with us on Sunday for Sunday school and preaching. He called and confirmed he'd be with us. So just wanted to make that known again as well. Let's be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, familiar scripture probably to everybody here. In talking about, I know I'd say everybody here for the most part has probably heard about faith promise missions and things, and that's not what the message is about tonight, but it kind of goes along with that kind of thought. I know Brother Greg Thompson, he has preached several of those services, I guess you could say, talking about missions and different things, about giving, about the biblical way of doing that, and that's important. I want to tell you this tonight, thought about this a lot today. If you are in a position that you can give to somebody, you're blessed. Just really think about that. If you are in a position that you can give to somebody, that means you've been blessed with enough or maybe more than what you need. And my goodness, and how often can we say that the Lord's been good to us in that way? And I think a lot of times maybe the things that we don't have are things He doesn't want us to have anyway, things we don't need. Kind of like a parent with a child going through the store would pull everything off the shelf. I won't, but they don't need everything, but they want everything. And but you know, I know our Father who gives good gifts. If we being evil can give good gifts, how much better can He give and provide for us? And I'm thankful for that tonight. But tonight the topic is thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. That's how this context of Scripture ends up, the last verse, and how it ends up. And I thought that'd be a fitting title for it because it's kind of just how everything is broken down and what it talks about. But it talks about promises and giving. That is the subscription that I have in my Bible. I have a Ryrie Study Bible, but that's the subscription that's given there and kind of talks about different things. And you go back and you look and start around verse or chapter number 8, it kind of talks about some things there, but it says purposes in giving. And then you go over a few verses and then it talks about policies in giving. And then you come on down to where we're at tonight in chapter number 9, verse number 6, where we'll be starting. It talks about promises in giving. And I believe with all my heart, when God makes a promise, He's going to see it through. Amen? Don't you believe that? And the interesting thing about it is when He holds a contingency or has a contingency for us, that's His way of saying, try me. If you will do this, then I will do this. I promise you, if you will do this, I will do this. That's what He's telling us. And no better person to trust, no more powerful authority that we can trust But we'll read here, start reading in verse number 6, and it says, "But this I say," Paul talking here, talking about teaching here, about giving to the church at Corinth. He said, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." And I like these next few words here. I've got those underlined and arrows pointing straight down to it. It says, And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye may always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. There's a lot of promises in that verse, a lot of abundance in that verse. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in every good thing to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. See, he gives us a part. He gives us a place. And we as individuals and we as a church collectively, he gives us a place. God is so good about that and intentional in doing that. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is it abundant also by many thanksgivings to God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. I'll go further into detail about that also. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege to stand here, to be here tonight. What a privilege it is, Lord, to be able to preach and proclaim your word, God, and to study it and to share it, God, that we can be stronger, that we can be wiser, that we can be more beneficial unto you, God, if we'll just take what you have, what you've given to us, and apply it. Be good stewards of it, God. You promised that you would take care of everything else. It's all by authority of your word, God, and we trust solely in your word, Lord. And God, I thank you for the privilege again to be here tonight. Thank you for those who are here with us. God, I pray that you just guide my mind and my mouth tonight. Help me to speak clearly, God, and just say the things that you'd have me to and nothing you don't want me to, Father. And God, I just pray you'd be with us in the business meeting, in the prayer time, just everything that takes place in our church, God. We want it to be centered around you, every bit of it, God. You're the main one. You're the center point, God. Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. So Paul giving some teaching here, and it's pretty straightforward. Again, I believe everybody here has heard this and probably maybe heard it different ways, but it's kind of pretty well straightforward. I know it's been used a lot in Faith Promise missions, and no secret here how that is, where a person would or family would commit to the Lord and say, I will give X amount of dollars per week, per month, and then that will go to missions. We usually take that up on Wednesday nights. That's what that is for. That's something that you set aside above tithes. It's considering an offering. I mean, if we're just tithing, we're not really doing an offering. A tithe is just like what we feel like we have to do based off of God's word. An offering is what we do above that and say, I want to give more. When we look around and see people in need, there should be a desire to say, hey, you know what? I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And I want to be able to help somebody else. I see them in need. Not that I'm better or anything like that, but I see a person could use some help, so I want to help them. You know, God loves that. I think we saw a lot of that, a really huge example of that during the storm and what have you, but it's a lifelong project. It's a lifelong thing. That's the way the Lord wants us to be, because if we're not, I don't say if we're not careful, the time could, may, probably, will come when you're on the other side of that and you need that help. And what a blessing it is. See, what God is saying is if you have an abundance, you give, and you help other people, and he promises when your need comes, He'll provide it. Isn't that something? It's a give and take, but He allows us not to brag on anything that we think we can do in and of ourselves, because again, it's all His provision. It's what He gives to us, and that's what He gives, but He wants us to be able to be good stewards of that and give accordingly. And what He's saying here, you're going to see that God is a big giver. God is not one that holds back. When He sent His Son Jesus Christ, He sent everything. And He sent the very best of what He had. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. It's very straightforward. If you put a little in, you're just going to expect a little out. If you put a lot in, you can expect a lot back out of it. And I'm not just talking about financially and things like that. I'm talking about spiritually also. You see a big application with this. There's times in my life when you know, if you're going through something, Brother Mike, you think about house things and just things like we've saw here. You know, you think, how am I going to put all this back together? How am I going to pay for this? Or how am I going to handle this? You know, and we've been doing a lot of things at the house. And I'll give you a small example today. We thought that we needed a piece on our furnace put in, and so we called somebody and finally got it scheduled for them to come and do that. And they were looking at it, and the fella, he was going to put an exhaust, an intake on our furnace so we could encapsulate it to try to keep moisture out and all that kind of stuff. Well, he carries all this piping, and he carries everything in there, and he starts, I hear him under the house working on things, and he starts with it, and he comes back up and knocks on the door and said, "Hey, you've already got this." I said, "Really? I didn't know." They said, "Yeah, come here, let me show you something." We got down and looked up underneath the part of the deck. You can't really get under the deck. It's all protected by lattice, so we don't go up underneath there. The cat does sometimes, but we don't. Just kind of stay out of there. And he said, "Yeah." I said, "This right here is your intake." And he said, come here. He said, "This is your exhaust." He said, "You already got it." And you know, that was an expense that we didn't have to pay. It's not always that God is just going to say, you know, here's the maybe the funds for it, but sometimes it's what you don't have to pay. And tell me God's not in that. It's amazing how He works those things out. You say, "Ah, it's just coincidence." No, it wasn't to me today. It was a blessing. And I would more than happily take that. And you see what it's talking about in giving sparingly. Again, if you give a little, just expect a little. It's kind of not important to you. You go back to the widow and the two mites. She gave all that she had. Have you ever done that? Again, I'm not suggesting that. I just want to put it in perspective. Have you brought everything you've got, emptied out your bank account, and say, "I'm going to give this to the Lord"? And you know, the thing about it is, God's not even necessarily asking you to do that. He's not asking us to do that. He's not asking the church to do that. But as it says here, as you purpose in your heart, and we'll get down to that, and He makes a promise that he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. I want to read this in Galatians real quick. Galatians 6:6-10, it says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate, and to him that teacheth in all good things," talking about the word of God, communicate means give, "be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap." That's a promise. You see this in different places in the Bible. What you put in, you are going to reap back out of that. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You see a spiritual application there. You see also faith promise. In verse number 9 it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You know, I was talking about the grind earlier this week, or maybe Sunday, talking about the grind. If we faint not. I think there's times that we find in our life that we will be tried. I think you'd be tried physically. I think you'd be tried financially in many different ways. Spiritually, I think we'll be tried. How are you going to trust your faith if it's never been tried? How do you know if what you're doing is worth it if it's never tried and you don't see the benefit of it? But if you stay faithful and God adds the blessing, I promise you, it'll be worth it. And that's something that's between you and the Lord personally, and He makes that a personal thing. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men." See, this is in Galatians. He's talking to a different church. "Especially unto them who are the household of faith." It's saying be good to everybody. You know, it's okay to even be good to people that's not in the church. You know that? It's okay if the church gives to people that's not missionaries. It's okay if the church gives to people who aren't members. It says to all men. And I think God means it when he says it that way. If he says all men are able to approach the throne of grace, all men are able to accept his salvation, I think when he means all men, I think he means all men. I think that's what he's talking about. And so as we come back to verse number 7, 2 Corinthians 9, it says here, every man according as he is purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So as you purpose in your heart, that's something, this is something that you set aside, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do for people. And I think that's something I want to talk about for our business meeting tonight, kind of leading into it. That's why this all goes together. Something that we pre-plan and we purpose in our heart that we want to do for people. Especially talking about members of our church and how we would like to consistently be a blessing or help as a church. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. That means not kind of second thinking it as you're handing it out. Like, man, I don't know if I want to do that or not. When you've committed to do it, he's saying do it. You know, when we give, that becomes God's, right? If we give, that becomes God's. And I'm just going to tell you too, church, I believe if we give as a church, everybody collectively places money into the church, I think, or into the plate, I think the church should have a say in where that goes out, don't you? I mean, I do. See, that's what's neat about us. That's what's a blessing about being an independent Baptist church. We're not governed by some association that says, here, you give us some money and you'll never see it again. And hey, we're going to ship this overseas somewhere for you and you'll never see the missionary. See, that's why we invite people to come in. And that's why it's important for us. That's why we get to help people in our church and know who they are. You'll see the benefit and the reason why. God always gives us the why. He doesn't just throw it out there and say, just do this. Just do what I say. He gives you the reason why, nor of necessity. And that is meaning that you don't give it thinking, if I don't do this, God's going to be mad at me. I'm going to have to do this. If I don't do this, mom and dad will be mad at me or whoever, whatever. It's just like it becomes begrudging. That's not what it's about. Plainly, what he's saying here, it says, for God loveth a cheerful giver, one that is willing to give. I think sometimes we'll give to appease, but maybe not give until it hurts. Think about it like that. Sometimes when people are in need, it might be easy to be critical of them and not fully understanding things. They don't need it. They should have been better, this or that. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says to help them. Bible says to help. And what it says here, I want us to see this and know this is special to me. I've been in a place, thank the Lord, I didn't lose my family, but everything financially, I've been through that. I kind of know a little bit about what that feels like. When you look around and there's not enough to cover and it's gone and there ain't a thing you can do about it. But the most amazing thing that I have seen when we're talking about this is how God can make moves. He can move things and he makes himself known in it if you'll turn around and do it his way. Now, Brother Dale, it's like this. I can take this and I can say it. You can say it. Somebody can experience it and say it. But until you do it, you will never receive the blessing. I'm talking about individuals. I'm talking about us as a church. If we don't do it, we will not receive the blessing. God is very adamant about that. He's very plain. He's saying, if this, then this. And it should be very, very simple after that. I tell you, not that things have always just been easy, but my life changed when we started putting our finances first to the Lord. Brother Mike did a wonderful job teaching a class to our young people. I'm telling you, there's a right way about finances and there's a wrong way. And this right here, I think, is a key backbone in teaching what it's talking about. And I say all that to say this, verse number 8. And God is able. It's not about you and me. It's not about us. I want to ask you this. And I want you to be honest with yourself. You don't have to verbally answer me, but I want you to be honest with yourself. Do you really think anybody can outgive God? Do you think that? Do you believe that? Have you ever saw any circumstance where somebody outgave God and they say, God, you owe me back? It don't work that way, does it, Brother Dale? Brother Dale, I've never seen anybody say that. I've never been able to see anybody even pretend to be able to say, you know, I gave God a whole lot. Boy, he didn't give me. No, I've never seen anybody that was right with God had a right standing with God in their heart of hearts honestly say that. If we think that we can outgive God, then maybe we think, well, I'm afraid if we give too much, we'll run out. You know, if we help too many people, Brother Allen, we're going to run out of money, and then where will we be? Then that would be in direct opposition of what God's Word says. That would make God a liar. And God cannot lie. He's made it very plain. He's made it very simple. And it says here, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. He's talking to us individually, and he's talking to us as a church. You remember this letter, when it was written, Paul didn't write it to an individual. He didn't say, here, Sister Holly, I'm writing this to you. Take this home and read it. He wrote this to the Corinthian church. This is a teaching for the whole church. That's what he's talking about here. And what you see in Galatians, that was written to the church at Galatia. You see, it's a collective body that this was written to. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things. Sufficient means you're going to have enough in all things. That's some bold promises from the Word of God. And either we believe it or we don't. May abound to every good work. In verse number 9, it says here, and this is talking about Psalms 112, verses 4 through 9. And it says here, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. So you see, what he's talking about back here in Psalms, he's not just talking about missions. That's why I'm saying this is not about faith promised missions. He's not talking just about that. He's talking about giving in general. You look at Psalm 112, verses 4 through 9, and it says, and unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion. That's probably a key component to a heart-filled giver, is one who can have compassion on somebody else and say, you know, you're in a bad way, and I want to help you. And if this is going to help you, I want to help you. And full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. That means he's going to be wise in what he does. He's going to do his homework and be wise. It doesn't mean you just blindly do things and just act foolish. It doesn't mean that. But he uses discretion and he guides his affairs with discretion. Surely he will not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil things. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. What you do if a person or a church wants to get serious about something like this, they say, we're going to do this, Lord, because one, you told us to. And then two, you told us you'd take care of us through this. It's a promise that he's made. And his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Verse number 9, he hath dispersed. This is the verse that he's talking about there in 2 Corinthians. He has dispersed. When you disperse, that means you give out. You're dispersing abroad. You're broadcasting. You're putting it out. He has dispersed. He hath given to the poor. He's given to people who's in need. He's taking care of other people, people who are less fortunate, people who have fallen on hard times. And I want to tell you this. Thinking about hard times, it doesn't have to be a devastating wipeout, but our young people and our young couples, they're having a hard time financially trying to figure all this stuff out. Buying houses that maybe 5 years ago you could get for $150,000, they're $350,000 and $400,000 now. And guess what? You start having children, you start having hospital bills, it don't take much and you're over budget. And I want to say this respectfully, insurance doesn't cover everything. It really don't. It doesn't cover everything, and sometimes people absolutely need help. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away, and the desire of the wicked shall perish. But he's talking about the righteous man, and that's what Paul, he makes mention of that verse here. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, he is righteous, his righteousness remaineth forever. Verse number 10 and 11, look at this. It says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower is the one that's doing the work. The one that's ministering the seed, that's the one who's giving. That's the one that's ministering. That's the one that's giving the seed. That's the one who's giving the need or giving what is needed to the person that's going to give it out. And now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food. See, it's a collective for everybody. And multiply your seed sown, you have more seed to give. I tell you, the more people that you have, and the more people that you have giving, what does that mean? You can give more. Isn't that something? It's an abundance. And if you really have a heart for people, that should be our desire. That should be our desire as we collectively put things together, or put funds together, put needs together. We're taking up for different things, doing things. As we collectively do that, then we disperse that together as a unified body. See, that's a powerful thing. And people take note of that. We'll see that here, here in just a minute. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, our goodness. Talking about the church. Being enriched, that word enriched means made rich or wealthy, fertilized, supplied. We use the word supplied. Being supplied in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. If you've ever had the privilege, the blessing, of helping somebody that really needed it, and the look that they have on their face of thankfulness towards you, that's exactly what he's talking about. And see, when the church gives that, or when the church does that, when it's done through the church, the community, the people, the recipients look at that and they say, man, that's a giving church. That's a loving church. There's something special about that church. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God. It's being obedient to Him. See, there's a draw that is taking place. Do we want to draw people in? You want to see people saved? Do you want to see people helped? And again, I have a huge heart for all of our church, and I really have a burden for our young people just seeing what they're going through. See, I work on a college campus and see it daily. See people like Sister Chelsea's age on a daily basis and talk to them, and they're trying to work 2 and 3 jobs just to keep rent, and it's expensive in Boone. They're trying to pay rent long enough until they can get their education and move on, and not everybody has scholarships, and not everybody has parents that are helping them. I have several students that work with me that aren't receiving help that way. And they have to work to make everything come together. And you say, poor pitiful. I'm not, but there's dedicated people out there that are trying. And I tell you, the Lord wants us to help them. And I have no reservation whatsoever in saying that. It says again, verse number 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. It gives Him the glory. It gives Him the credit. For the administration of this service, the way that it's managed, the distribution of this service, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but it is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God. It doesn't also just help the saints, but it draws people to God. It pulls people to Him. Look at verse number 13. Now, think about this. Now, you'll see this in different places in the Bible. You'll see it in the New Testament. You'll see it in the Old Testament. And it says, whiles by experiment of this ministration. He's saying, okay, now here's the thing. I can tell you this. I can explain it to you. I have a friend at work that says, I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you. And I thought, man, that's pretty cool. I'll use that sometime. But here's the thing about it is, he said, I can tell you, like many things in the Bible, I can tell you how this works, but until you do it, you're not going to understand it until you experiment. The Bible actually uses the word experiment. That's when you try something to see what happens. He's saying if it's in question, you try it to see what happens. I want to read this real quick because I think it's one of my favorite sections of verses. In Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 10. But I'll read a little bit more. I'll read a little bit more before that and kind of land here about verse 10. But it says, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances. He's talking about the church at that time, or the tabernacle, the people at that time being the Old Testament. It wouldn't be a church. But he's talking about the gatherings at that time. It says, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. If you will do what I'm asking you to do, I will have fellowship with you. I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? What are you talking about? What do you mean? That's what the flesh will get you into. Well, Lord, I'm trying to do all this, and I'm trying to, what are you talking about? I this and I that. That's kind of how that would probably go. And then the question is asked here, will a man rob God? Nobody would probably say, yeah, I would. Nobody would probably openly say that. But it says here, yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have you robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. I say here, it's important that we all work together in this. We all have compassion together in this. When we give, we know where it's going to be given, and we know it's going to help. It's going to help where it's needed to be helped. Will a man rob God is the question here. And he's saying in tithes and offerings. Verse number 9 says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Talking about his own nation of Israel. But he stops. And our God is a forgiving God. I know that there's a line, and I would not want to cross the line that God has. And I know there's a sin unto death, and the Bible talks about these things. But what he is saying here, this is a pivotal point. This is a change point. What he's saying here, he's saying, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now wherewith. He's saying, prove me. This is talking about that experiment. This is the Old Testament talking about it. What we're talking about over in Corinthians is the New Testament version of that. But he's saying, try me. He's saying, prove me now. Herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, me as an individual, I appreciate that. Me as a pastor, I appreciate that for us, that God made an opportunity for us to do that. That if we do this thing together, God said, I promise you, I'll take care of it. See if it's not a big enough blessing that you'll be so amazed, you can't stand it. You can't contain it. You can't hold it. Who would walk away from that? Here's the thing. If I am so concerned about what I think I have in protecting this, what I think I have, and I'm not willing to see what God has for me, I'm going to miss out. I'm going to miss out on the biggest blessing God has for me because I think I'm protecting something here that I think I have put together, but I'm missing out on His blessing. He's saying, if you'll do it my way, see if I don't pour you out a blessing so big that you can't contain it, that you can't hold it. He said, preacher, you're talking awful big. I'm really not really even hardcore preaching. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It's not so much here, it's what we actually decide to do, what we do. That's what makes the difference. And as we go down here, verse number 14, I'll read 13 again though. It says here, it says, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. So when people see this, when the world sees this, the lost world, we're not even talking about church members at this point, we're talking about people out in the community. Somebody out there maybe that needs help, but somebody out there that could use some help and maybe lives in the community. Like, what better kind of outreach is what we're talking about here? But what he's saying, whiles by the experiment, if you do this, of this ministration, of this giving out, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. That is where we put our money where our mouth is. It's easy to say it, but what he's saying here, when you do that, people see it. People will take note of that, and they're going to say, wow, they're really following what the Bible says. And for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Say, hey, we want to help you. Then you say, preacher, you're just talking about just emptying out the account and throwing money out the window. I'm not. If we give the way God tells us to give, I promise you, we won't want. Brother Greg said it like this one time. We had Three Forks. We had the Faith Promise Missions conference there. We're talking about it. And he, you know Brother Greg. He's in revival now at Mountaindale. You know how Brother Greg was, how he was talking and everything. You've probably seen him here. And he said, I'll tell you what, church. He said, if this don't work, Brother Jason will give you money right back.
You know what? I was the first person to say amen because I believe it. I believe it. I believe in God that much. You think God is going to empty out a church for doing what he said to do? I don't think so. I don't think so. And what he says here, verse number 14, he says there again, unto all men. And then verse number 14, it said, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Kind of, you see how it pulls it back together. It's all about the Lord. And then verse number 15, I thought this was interesting and how this ends. It says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That's how Paul concludes those verses. It's not about giving credit to anybody else or anything like that, but he said, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. He allows us to take part in it. And that's, I think that right there, part of those things is what will help our faith to grow, help our trust to grow when you see it firsthand. Because a lot of times in your life, there's things you won't say maybe to somebody or what have you, maybe your spouse or something like that. But there's a lot of things that you will think in your mind that you won't say out of your mouth for anybody to hear. But God knows. God knows. Just like Sarah, when he promised her to have a child and she laughed. He said, yay, but you did. So he knows this. He knows. And when God answers that prayer in such a way that nobody else knows about it but you and him, who else can get the glory? Who else can get it but him? He's amazing. He knows what's going on in the inner workings of our hearts and of our minds. But thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. He allows us, he promises us, if we'll take part, he does all the heavy lifting. He promised us, he allows us to be able to take part in that. And I thank him for it tonight. I appreciate your good attention. That's the message for tonight. But we do have a business meeting. And what I wanted to do before we start, before we actually go into conference is...